My guests for this segment are Rick and Judy Cormier. Rick is the founder of Different Drummers Drum Circle here in Santa Fe and in other places in the past. So tell me about Different Drummers and how that got going, Rick.
Well, back when we lived in Massachusetts, there was a woman at church who approached me and said, "I'm starting a drum circle. Would you be interested?" And I've been drumming since I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I thought, how did she know I was a drummer? And I asked her, how did you know I was a drummer? And she said, I didn't. It's not a prerequisite. And I said, well, you better tell me just what a drum circle is then. And so I wound up drumming with, it was only about 8 people involved for the first year. And because I was a drummer, they sort of made me the unofficial leader.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people would come to me for advice about drums and ask me to tune their drums and things like that.
Let's stop a minute and tell people, what kind of drums are we talking about here?
Mostly hand drums, djembes, African djembes are common, Middle Eastern dumbeks are common, but a lot of people bring all kinds of frame drums and Native American drums, gathering drums, bongos, congas, you know, anything is possible.
So you sort of took over that group. You became its leader?
Yeah. That lady eventually moved to California, and so I sort of started running the group with the help of a few other people. And then in January of 2003, we moved to Maine. And so in Maine, I started Different Drummers Drum Circle, and that just took off. In 10 years, by the time we left Maine, Different Drummers had over 650 members.
Wow.
Ranging in age from 5 years old to 94.
And this was in a small town, right?
This was in a town of 8,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So people came from all over, not just from that town.
Yep.
To participate.
Oh, we had people come from as much as 2 and 4 hours away.
And you drummed, what, once or twice a month together?
Four times a month.
Four times a month.
Yep.
So this is a free endeavor. This is something you do for fun?
Yep. And it's free. I don't charge money for it.
This is your passion, in other words.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you, Rick, you actually in your other life, you work as a psychotherapist.
Yep.
Yeah, and Judy, you're a banker, working
yes,
in banking?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so yes, ma'am. Thank you. I like that. Yes, ma'am. So the rest of the time, this is your big passion, drumming, mm-hmm. and you drum, mm-hmm. Rick, and Judy plays flute.
I play flute, but I drum as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, and, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, we have two drums in here, so I know that Rick can't play both at the same time. I should say that we're recording in the studio today, not live, because we knew we were going to do this musical thing, and it would be a little more fun to hear it here in the studio than it would be if we were trying to broadcast live. So, yeah. So tell me about that main group and how that evolved.
Well, that one started. I started it by teaching a workshop, and about 2 dozen people took the workshop. And when the 2-week workshop was done, I said, okay, we're going to do this once a month now. And so anybody who's interested, just come. And people came, and the word got out, and just sort of through word of mouth, we went from 2 dozen people to 650 plus. What I would do when the crowd got too big, I would add a night.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I still do is, you know, when it gets to the point you have 30 or 40 people coming, I like it a little more intimate. I've drummed in drum circles that were 200 drummers, and that's not very intimate.
Right.
And it's not very musical either. Everything sort of sounds like boom, ba da ba ba da boom, ba da ba ba da boom, you know.
Right.
And so what I would do is when it would get big, I would add a night. And then a few years later, it would get too big again, and I would add another night until finally we were doing it just about every week.
So when you moved to Santa Fe, you moved here when?
Moved here in September of last year.
Last year.
Yep.
And you already have one of these drum circles going here.
Yeah, we actually have two going here. We have two locations. We We drum at a friend's house on Bishop Lodge Road once a month, and we drum at the performance space in El Dorado once a month.
And so people just show up, and you facilitate the drum group. And I want to talk a little bit about your style of drum circle, but I'd like to get you guys to play something, will you?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So back off those mics a little, grab your drums.
Okay.
And so I'm talking to Rick and Judy Cormier, DrummersDrumCircle.com. DrummersDrumCircle.com is their website. They run a free drumming group twice a month here in Santa Fe, and it's open to everyone, beginners, people who've been doing it a long time. They're old hands, of course, and now they're going to show us what they can do with their old hands. Go for it. You guys ended that really well together. Old hands indeed. That was very nice. I wish we had a visual to go along with that because your expressions are so very different.
Yes.
You know, Judy's eyes are open and she's kind of, attentive to the beat. And Rick's eyes are closed and he's smiling and moving around his mouth. Yeah, it was really great. So when you do these drum circles, this is not, you don't do particular songs. You do something called freestyle. Explain what that is,
yeah.
Please.
Well, there are two kinds of drum circles. The one that's most written about would be facilitated drum circles. In a facilitated drum circle, someone like me stands in the middle and tells everybody what to do, and you just play what I tell you to play, and I play what I want to play. So guess who's having the most fun? They've gotten better. Today freestyle drum circles, facilitated drum circles are more likely to give people some elbow room and give them some flexibility to play. In the 90s, there was none of that. It was very, very regimented, very focused. And so if my preference was African drumming, we're going to do African drumming all night because that's what I know. That's my training. If it's Middle Eastern drumming, then that's what we're going to do all night. With freestyle drumming, I've written a book called Freestyle Community Drum Circles. With freestyle drumming, anyone can start a beat. And that means even a beginner can start a beat. And what we're going to do is we're going to build on whatever you started. As a result, one piece sounds African, the next piece sounds Native American, the next is blues, the next is rock and roll, or a piece could switch. We could start sounding Middle Eastern, and then it might turn into anything because we're all listening to one another. And we're all building it as we go. So we're not just playing my beat all night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a matter of fact, I purposely will only start one, two beats maximum in the entire evening because I want to encourage people to try something.
Uh-huh.
And if it doesn't work, so what? It's only drumming.
Right. No dead babies, as a friend of mine says. Yeah. So it does sound like so much fun, and you've been doing it for so long. Why drum? Why, you play other instruments, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've had other musical experiences in your lifetime.
Yep.
So, but it sounds like you've sort of settled into drumming in this way as your main passion. How come?
The thing I found with drum circles, even the first year that I did them, 20 years ago, was that everybody was coming for a different reason. You had people who were coming from a very spiritual place. You had people who were journeying while they were drumming. You had people who came to meet other people. It was just a social
outlet. Just to make
friends. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great social outlet because you meet the best and most interesting people drumming, you know. I have a Native American friend who says, nobody buys a drum and then goes out and kills somebody. And it's his way of saying, you meet the nicest people, you know. Mm-hmm. There were people who came because they found it to be the most relaxing thing they did all week. Others came because it was the most fun thing they did all week. And I realized that you've got all of these people who were there for a different reason. And if I don't define it, then everybody can come and get exactly what they want, even though it's nothing like what the person sitting next to you
is getting. Yeah. Before we go on too much further, I've been referring people to your website, differentdrummersdrumcircle.com. But is that the best way to get in touch with you guys about the drum circle?
Yeah, or you can email me at differentdrummers@gmail.com.
Differentdrummers, plural, at gmail.com. Okay,
right.
Good. Well, you know, I am a drummer, and I took drumming lessons from various people at times. In Oakland, I took from a teacher who nonetheless used somewhat of a freestyle approach. You know, she taught us different beats. We learned Cuban. We learned West African. You know, we learned Middle Eastern, et cetera. But she also would invite other people to start the beat, you know, and we would do that kind of thing. But in my first, I want to share my first experience with drumming. I was in seminary, and two of my teachers were drummers. And I went to their home for a Kabbalah class, and I walked in, and they're playing drums in the other room. And she motioned to me, get a drum and come sit down. So I shook my head no, you know, I couldn't possibly do that. And I went over and I sat down, and as I listened to the beat, and I do have a musical background of some sorts, but I listened to the beat, I suddenly realized I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I went and got a drum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't do it perfectly at first, but I could do it. I could keep the beat. And what I also found out was that I had to shut down my rational brain in mm-hmm. order to keep the beat. Have you, is that a common experience?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why you see me with my eyes closed when I drum, because I become the music. I just, you know, you leave your ego behind and you get out of your head. You know, we used to call it being in the here and now. Now they call it mindfulness. Mm-hmm. But when I drum, that's all I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about what I need to pick up at the store on the way home.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, I feel that I can't even think about it, though. If I think about the beat, I fall off the beat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but if I go, it's sort of like, I think of it as left brain, right brain, although I know that's not a popular construct anymore, but it's like I'm shutting down my left brain, shutting down mm-hmm. all the rational stuff, mm-hmm. letting my right brain take over, and it's just a musical thing, you know. In the same sense, I think that they talk about people with Alzheimer's, for example, retaining the ability to make music, mm-hmm. even though they might have lost their ability to speak or otherwise comprehend what's going on around them. So, yeah, there's something about drumming, isn't there?
Yeah.
Hey, I want you to play another tune because I don't want to let time get away from us. And Judy brought her flute, and she is a fabulous flutist.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Yeah. So, and you play Native American?
Yes, ma'am. I grew up playing silver flute.
Uh-huh.
This kind of ties into getting out of your head. I grew up playing silver flute and really only played from sheet music, classical music. I met Rick, and he played guitar, and we've been married 30 years. When I first met him, he would play chords and ask me to play something, but I didn't know what to play because I didn't have music in front of me. Mm. He would tell me, just play anything. And I said, well, what if it doesn't sound good? He said, don't play it again. And that actually gave me the permission. Mm. And then I kind of moved. I discovered Native American flute, never went back to silver. And now everything I do is improvised, which 30 years ago, that was a nightmare for me to improvise. So it works well, very well with the drum.
That's lovely. So
this is the other side of the drum circle of more mellow and meditative kind of drumming.
Super. So I'm talking with Rick and Judy Cormier, DifferentDrummersDrumCircle.com. All right, you guys, go for it. Lovely. Thank you so much. Rick and Judy Cormier maybe playing flute and djembe for us today. That was great. I noticed that on the previous piece you played, I felt like there were, you had an invisible signal between you when to stop. You know, this time I saw your eyes teaching each other. It was the moment to go, yeah. But that was great. Judy, tell us about that flute.
It is made by a gentleman in Arizona by the name of J.P. Gomez. It is oak.
Walnut.
I look to Rick for the wood. He's the wood expert. It is, there are six holes, but it you keep one covered so that you've got the pentatonic scale, and it brings that native Indian sound. And it is, there are a variety of woods from made of, these flutes are made. And woods in the in these flutes are either hard or soft woods. And the sound, cedar flutes are very popular in American Indian music. And the sound is more soft because the wood is more soft. It absorbs the sound. The harder the wood, the clearer the note.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
I fell in love with the sound, and every wood has its own voice. And so it's nice to pick up a different flute and have a different voice.
And you were given a flute recently.
I was. It was very special. We have friends in the Santo Domingo Pueblo, and we went to visit them for All Saints Day. And they, we brought our drums and flute just to play for them as a thank you for supper. They invited us there. And I was playing my flute, and our friend Jimmy left the room and came back with a flute that he was gifted by a friend of his who makes flutes, and he gifted me the flute. After I played for him, which was incredibly special and an honor. I was very touched.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing. Yeah, and I've heard also, maybe I read on your website, that you had played recently at San Ildefonso Pueblo. Is that right?
Yeah. We played, we have friends in the Cochiti Pueblo who we had Thanksgiving dinner with. And we did the same thing. We took out drums and flute, and we played for them a little bit after supper. And there was going to be an arts and crafts fair at San Ildefonso, and they asked us if we would play for the San Ildefonso craft fair. And we said, sure. So we showed up and we played. It was a lot of fun.
What a wonderful honor.
Yeah.
And did you get to meet some drummers from the Pueblo while you were there?
No, more from Cochiti. I know some from Cochiti Pueblo, but it's different because their drumming, you know, whereas our drumming is recreational, theirs is ceremonial. So, and, you know, and I've had some great conversations with some of the Cochiti elders about that, where, you know, theirs is a ceremonial, very spiritual drumming. And they think it's a hoot that I take people from off the street who have never touched a drum in their life, and I make it this community thing. You know, they think I invented it, and I have to tell them, no, it wasn't my idea.
Other people were doing this too.
Yeah.
So you've said that your drum circles, all kinds of people come, young people, old people, and even like a 13-month-old.
Yeah, that's our record. That's our record.
And she
was Gracie.
And she was able to keep the beat.
She was amazing. She was 13 months old. I figured, okay, this grandmother is bringing her grandchild, you know, to babysit. And she sat and stared for the first song that we did, stared at me mostly. And then the second song, she picked up her little 8-inch drum and she started hitting it. But I'm looking at her and she's hitting it on the beat.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how would a 13-month-old be hitting on the beat?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's more is she had the attention span. At 13 months old, she played with us for about an hour.
Wow.
And they became regulars. And they used to travel about an hour and a half to get to Yarmouth, Maine.
Wow.
And and she drummed with us until she was 18 months old, and then they moved to Philadelphia.
And also, I think there's that inherent natural – I think we do all have a natural ability. I mean, drumming is our heartbeat. It's the blood coursing through our veins, right?
Yeah,
you know, so there's this innate thing we have. And so I think when children, especially when they're very small and they're not criticized, that they can do that. They can just, you know, jump right in there.
Yeah.
And then you also had an interesting experience with, I believe, an autistic young woman or –
Oh yeah, we had one of our members in Maine had cerebral palsy and was autistic.
Oh, neat!
And she kept the beat beautifully, and she would always insist on sitting next to me. And everybody was so nice about, you know, if someone else was sitting next to me and she came, it was interesting because she had trouble crossing the room. She had trouble talking. But when it came to drumming, she was fine, and we would play together. You know, she would give me signals, and we would, you know, she'd hold up three fingers, and that meant when the next fill came, we were both going to do three beats, and then I'd hold up four fingers, and we would do four, which for someone with autism to be playing like that is incredible.
Right. Well, you have just been wonderful. It's been great to have you both, Rick and Judy Cormier. Rick is the facilitator of, you might say, of a freestyle drumming circle here in Santa Fe. It meets twice a month. It's differentdrummersdrumcircle.com. If you want to look at the website, you can also email Rick at differentdrummers@gmail.com and find out the details about the drum circle there. Open to new people. So thank you both for being here today.
Thank you very
much. It was wonderful to
hear
you play.